Excuse me, Sonny! Do you know where I can find some booty?
Man's got his own walk-up music. And I never would have imagined that that's what it would be, but it's what he's chosen. And we're more than happy to oblige. He is Aaron Suttles, beat writer covering Alabama athletics for the Tuscaloosa News, TideSports.com. Aaron, how you doing, man?
I'm well, Chris. How are you?
I'm good. Now, let me ask you, will you guys have to go into news mode tonight, tomorrow, if we start getting the white stuff to the degree people are talking about?
I'm not a sports guy. Unless it directly or indirectly affects the contest or the program, we're off of weather duty, thank goodness.
So you get to basically just be kids and play in it, and if you want to, you can tweet about it and that kind of stuff, but no official assignment, right?
That's exactly right. That's the way we prefer it.
That's the way we all prefer it. And today, as much as I know you love college baseball, how thankful are you that you don't have that beat today and that D.C. Reeves does?
Ooh, yeah, D.C. can have this all day. I'll sit at home and follow along on Twitter and but I'll let him sit in that ice-cold press box.
It is, it's one of those where people look at it and say, all right, Alabama just played really well against Houston. Savannah State should be easy, but you can't sleepwalk through it because these are the ones that, to me, Aaron, really add up at season's end. You need to get these games in, but you need to take care of business because it's not just about being a regional team. I think this squad has a great chance to host if they can take care of business, but that means they can't afford slip-ups in games like this.
That's right. I mean, you look at it and you go ahead and pencil in a win, but, you know, baseball and softball always comes down to pitching. If you run into a hot pitcher, your bats are cold. You know, Chris, you and I have sat over there in Regions Park before, the Hoover Met, actually, and you watched Alabama lose a 1-0 game to UAB, and UAB is a good program, but you never know who you're going to get. So it's possible,
right.
You're exactly right. These are the games that if you take care of, it can be the difference between a 3-seed and a 2-seed or a 2-seed and actually getting a bid to host. So they sound simple in theory, but you got to go out there and take care of them. And on a cold night like tonight, the bats could go cold, and if you don't get a good pitching performance, one or two runs could get you beat. So you got to take care of business, no doubt.
You mentioned the pitching performance. How big a start is this for Nick Eichholz to get some momentum going into 2015?
Well, I mean, it's early in the season, and everything is big right now. You know, you want to start. You want to put a platform, a basis, a foundation down to build upon. And for him, you know, it's a good spot because you figure with the weather and with your opponent, this will give him an opportunity to get some confidence. You go out and throw 7-8 innings. You know, he builds that confidence that grows quickly in baseball. I mean, in baseball, the game, it's funny like that. Confidence can come and go very, very quickly. And a lot of a performance is built based on your confidence level. You think you can go out there and do something, you have a better, generally, performance than if you think you can't. So go out there and get 7 strong innings out of him. I think that bodes well for that pitching staff.
Talking, of course, with Aaron Suttles from the Tuscaloosa News and TideSports.com. He and all of our guests join us on the Michelob Ultra Hotline presented by Green Beverage. You get one on the road, that's usually not bad for a weekend series. I thought it was a good barometer, Aaron, that Alabama led all 3 games of that series at one point. Now, clearly, you want to finish, you want to win every time you step on the field. But do you think they got what they needed to get out of that trip playing against a top-5 team and faring pretty well?
Yeah, I mean, people are going to look at the name Houston. Don't kid yourself. This is a team that returned almost all of their talent from last year. I think last year didn't they make it to the Super Regional trip? I don't remember.
Yeah,
I
think they beat LSU in Baton Rouge,
yeah,
if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, went to a Super Regional, returned almost their entire team, including a lot of good pitching, and as you mentioned, was in every game. Even, you know, if you want to be picky about it, probably should have won that Saturday game if it doesn't get away from Alabama in that big seventh inning. that Houston has, but you're on the road, which is huge in baseball. To go on the road and play that well, and listen, this is Alabama. There are no moral victories in Alabama, but I think for a young team that lost a lot of pitching from last year, you lose the first game. I think it was 3-1. Second game gets away from you late, and you kind of win a throughout on the Sunday game. It tells them that they can compete. I mean, this isn't number 24 team. This is a top five team, number three team in the country that beat LSU in their place last year in a regional. This proves to Alabama, if there were any doubts, that we can compete with anyone in the country. And to have a lead in every game and to compete in every game and be in every game goes back to that confidence thing I just talked about. It's big for that team. And, you know, when does that pay off? We'll see. You got to take care of these midweek games and, you know, you start establishing the lineup and your defensive lineup before you get into conference play. But I thought it was a very important series for Alabama. You know, you could have scheduled Northwestern State. You could have scheduled anyone. But you went on the road, played a quality team, and proved to yourself that you can compete against them. That's big.
Casey Houston hits over 800 the first weekend. And I'll be honest, I'm thinking, all right, he'll come back and this weekend he'll have the average. After being in Houston, he'll have the average at about 500. Well, he's leading the country at 720. And while that is downright gaudy and incredibly impressive for the first two series of the year, it helped put in perspective for me, Aaron, just how ridiculous David Magadan and his 525 season average was back in 1983. Look, we know the odds of Casey even sniffing at that number are pretty long, but good night. Great start for him. Phenomenal season at 83 for Mags.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Alabama needed someone to kind of step up at the plate. You knew we were going to get from Mikey, from Kyle Overstreet, but you lost some talent in terms of at the plate from last year's team. So for Casey to come out, no one expected this. And you know what's even more kind of shocking to me is, what does the kid got to do to win SEC Player of the Week?
I was going to go there.
He hits 800, he hits 7, now he's at 700. Hey, and, oh, by the way, he hits 700 against the number 2-3 team, ranked team in the country, and I get it. Some of that's based on extra base hits and stuff, but come on. SEC office, what are you doing? Give the kid his due.
I'm cutting them some slack for two reasons. Number one, there's a new guy in charge, so that catches infinitely buys more grace than it would have with the, let's just say, the previous administration for that. But the other thing, too, I'm guessing that the first weekend is based on competition.
Yeah.
And I'll grant them that. And then this weekend may have had better numbers, but I'm right there with you. The guy's leading the country, and he ain't got a player of the week deal yet. I got a feeling if he goes anywhere near 500 for the weekend, that we're going to see Casey Houston's name be up there, and it may be the worst weekend he has all of
right.
The first three.
Well, they need to start paying attention. I think Alabama fans need to pay attention. That's, you know, we kind of laugh and chuckle, but baseball is a game of failure where if you fail two out of three times, you're an all-star. And
yeah.
And he's hitting 700 through two series. Pretty impressive.
Let's, as we talk with Aaron Suttles from the Tuscaloosa News, let's turn our attention back to the weekend and the combine and a lot of people enjoy sitting there watching all of that. I'll be honest, I'm not a huge fan of it, but I understand the importance, and it looks like Alabama, the guys there, pretty much did what was expected. Who impressed you the most, if anybody, out of the mix from Alabama, or who helped themselves the most, in your mind, from what took place over the weekend?
Well, he's a name Alabama fans are familiar with, and he's probably one of the most overlooked members during his time, but I gotta think that Justin Fowler really helped himself. One, I think he came across as a very team-first guy in his interviews. The thing that's going to
you know, negatively affect Galson is there's not a lot of teams that employ a true fullback anymore. That's just not the way football is played anymore. So there's only a few teams that he would even fit in to begin with. But I think the teams that did interview him, that did watch him work out, you can't help but love Jostin Fowler. He's everything that you want in a football player and a teammate. He can run. More importantly, he can block. He can catch the ball out of the backfield with a plus in today's NFL. So he really helped himself. Other guys, not really a shock, but Amari and Landon Collins really cemented themselves, I think, as first-round picks. There's just some debate now. Kevin White from West Virginia, who Alabama fans remember, torched Alabama secondary in Atlanta at the beginning of the season last year. He ran a really good 40 time. He's bigger than Amari, has what they call a higher ceiling. But make no doubt about it, Amari Cooper is the most polished wide receiver in this draft. He can just come out and play from day one. I mean, he's that polished. He's that seamless on the field. He's so smooth. And by the way, went out and ran a really good 40 time. And if you saw him, his arms are jacked. He's a strong kid. I mean, there's really nothing he has to do to improve his stock. So I expect him, he'll be gone in the first 10 picks. I imagine Landon will be gone in the first 20 picks. But those are the two guys that everyone's looking at. And then you get the next guys, probably T.J. Yeldon. Does he sneak in the second round? Is he a third round pick rather? That'll be interesting. He ran a really good 40 time, I thought, for his size, a bigger back, 6'1", 6'2", foot guy. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes. He's kind of a, can he sneak into a second? That's the intrigue for me. And he's got the fumbling problem the NFL scouts have noticed. But you look, put on the film, and there's not a better guy, in my opinion, not a better guy in the country at cutting, at lateral movement, making guys miss. He's not the fastest guy, he's not the strongest guy, but his career at Alabama, I think, speaks for itself.
Last thing we'll let you run. Blake Sims' time was great in the 40. We know what a great athlete he is. We also know the odds of him latching on as an NFL quarterback, it's very slim right now. Do you, in any conversations with him, has he talked at all about any interest in, if it's not going to work in the NFL, and maybe going and playing in Canada for any length of time? I know some guys would rather hang it up than go there, but there's money to be made. It's a place where a number of guys have gone on and done well, and I just wonder, because of the size of the field, the arm strength, a little bit different game, if maybe there's an opportunity, you think, for Blake there, if the NFL does not indeed work out.
Yeah, he's not talking about it right now, and I understand why, because he's focused on what he wants to do, and that's playing in the NFL. And if you even admit the possibility of something else, you're maybe opening yourself up to not putting your best in. So, but I think it'd be a good fit for him, quite honestly. You've seen some smaller quarterbacks succeed up there. The spacing of the field allows him to do some different things. He didn't throw the ball well at the combine. There's no way around it. He just did not throw the ball well. But he ran fast. He also worked out at running back, which would be interesting to see if there's any teams that think maybe he can fill in as a utility running back. But odds are very, very long for him to get drafted. I'm sure if he doesn't get drafted, he'll get an invite, to camp, get a look there. But I think his long-term is probably to see what's available maybe in the CFL. And if not, maybe he gets into coaching. But it's all that's me thinking way down the road. But I think he hasn't specifically mentioned it. You know, he's got a camp coming up in March at the American Christian Academy here in Tuscaloosa, and I'll be sure to ask him about that. But he's not talking about that right now because he's fully focused on trying to make it in the NFL.
Yeah, and hope the best for him. I hope that's the case. It would just make what's been an unbelievable story all the more fantastic. But he's one of those guys that I think we've come to have the opinion, whatever he wants to do, he's going to be successful. He's just too good a guy, and he's shown too much of a great work ethic to not have an opportunity to be really good in life, regardless of whether that includes football anymore or not.
Yeah, totally agree.